Gemora. Het is lekker om jullie hier bij jullie te wees. Om bekende gezichten te zien. Dat ik gewoonlijk in die ochtend, zodat ik mijn sienkies aflaai zien. Mijn vrouw is, ik denk in die moederskamer. So, haar naam is Ina. Ons het 3 sienkies. 7, 4 en net so oor 'n jaar. Baie energieke sienkies. Het is ouwe taal van, ek is vrek moeg, ek het nie geslaap in die afgelope 7 jaar. He. So, ons is in die ontnuchtering nog steeds, ek weet nie of het ooit ophou nie, maar ons het so'n boek in die huis, How Children Raise Parents. En ek denk, dit is ouwerskap. So vir die jong getrouwdes, go for it. Maar nooit sal jy God so tastbaar, so diep ervaar, soos wanneer jy daai klein bondeltjie het en saam met hom of haar begin lewe en haar moet groot maak, hom moet groot maak en net begin sien sekere aspekte van God dat jy ervaar soos wat baie moeilik is, wat net met openbaring kan kom as jy nou enkel is. En die Here roep sommiges om net enkel te wees. Bless jou. Hy het my nie geroepie vir dit nie, en maar het is lekker om saam met julle te wees vir, just for the English folks, I am going to speak English just now, just bear with me for a few moments. Niels het gevra dat ek in Engels moet preek vanmorgen, net omdat daar een paar ander, of paar mense hier is wat Engels is, so ons gaan dit doen, en het is werkelijk net lekker om hierdie ding saam te kan doen. So, ek denk, last week as ek reg was, was Jan, het jy gepreek oor kerk, en vanmorgen gaan ons oor gebed preek, en Niels wat in, by Calvary is, en hierdie julle vallei, of al die kerke doen het nie noodwendig saam nie, ons het net op ons hart gevoel, hey, ons is een klomp ouwens wat saamkom, maandeliks, vir koffie, verhouding bou, mekaar te ondersteun, kom ons doen net saam, dit wat die Heer in ons hart gesit het, so dis iets wat uit dit uitvloei, dis nie exclusief nie, maar dis werkelijk iets wat die vrug was van dit wat die Heer in ons doen, en ek glo die Heer is bezig om 'n paar dinge te doen wat een persoon op sy eie, een gemeente op sy eie nie kan doen nie, and so we better together, en dis die hart van die Heer in hierdie tyd, so kom ons slat oor Engels toe. As ek die tenses hier en daar verkeerd kry, sê net, ach dankie Here dat ek hier daarvoor hoef te staan. En dan, maar ek denk julle sal verstaan, een vriend van my, Frans Viljoen, ek denk julle van julle ken hom, maar hy moes in Engels praat een dag, en toe kom sê so ou boere om my, hy sê, Boet, ek verstaan Engels so bietjie, maar die manier hoe jy hom praat, verstaan ek hom glad nie. En toe hy op sy voorlegging kyk, wat hy nou so PowerPoint gehad het, toe sien hy, maar sy PowerPoint is in Russian English. So, geen wonder, so, ek hoop ek is nou nie in Russian English nie. Ek het gewees, alright, bid it together. Ons is bezig met the inward focus, and we're looking at prayer. Last week we looked at the church, and I believe that part of the definition that you heard was that we are called out together. We are not just saved from something, but we are called into something. We are called into the kingdom of God. We are called into a family. We are called into the church of Jesus. And in that part, we represent Him. We reveal Him. Different gifts. All the different facets of the church. And one of the big works that we need to do is to pray. To hear what God wants to do, and then pray that and do that. But you've got to hear this morning, if you forget everything else, is that God wants to use you. Not because you're good. Not because He thought, ach, shame. She or He doesn't have a place anywhere else. I am a loving God, so it's just... No, he doesn't have any of those feelings. He wants to use you because he chose to. He decided. And something that we can't get around is his decision. His choice. If you want to know of any, I just spoke about my boys, and I know some of you are very strong-willed children. The one with the strongest will in the universe, God. You cannot change what he set out to do through his son, Jesus Christ. If you go read Ephesians 2, it says, according to his will, according to his loving mercy, according to everything he does is according to his will. We can't change that. Now, we can choose if we want to be part of it or not, but we can't change his will in that sense. And so God has chosen me and you to partner with us on earth to bring his kingdom. That's how he chose. I don't know. I think if we would have been God, we would have chosen another way, because we look at ourselves or we look at the one next to us and, yeah, man, we can do better. Or what's plan B? Isn't there a better plan? No, but God said, I will have man represent me. I'll have man, male, female, man to take hands, and that's how I'm going to work. And that's why he chose to become man again, so that he could restore us in Jesus Christ. And so prayer, you might not have the greatest gift, you might not be called to stand up front and preach or sing or do this, but you are called to pray. We are all called to pray. It is a privilege. We get to pray. We not just have to pray, but we get to pray. And so, and he uses our prayers to do things. Some of the revivalists would say, God does nothing without somebody praying. Again, because he chose that. He wants to reward us. He wants to include us in this great work of his kingdom, of his church. And this is an inward part. This is us here as a church. And the big question I have for us this morning is, are you ready for answered prayer? Are you ready for answered prayer? And at the same, in the same breath, I want to ask you, how would the answered prayer look like? How would the answer to your prayer look like? Now, singles, I know it's probably a husband or a wife. Now, how would it look like? What would happen for you to know that, okay, the prayer was answered? A number of years ago, sitting in, we had a meeting with a man called R.T. Kendall. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's an author, preacher. And he preached on, are you ready for answered prayer? So the idea is not original from Ruan. If this morning thought, oh, I don't quite understand what Ruan preached, you can go Google R.T. Kendall. Are you ready for answered prayer? But this impacted me so deeply that I just felt this is the, and as I was praying for Shofar, Wellington, I felt, okay, this is the message that God has for us. And, just working it into our midst. So are you ready for answered prayer? Let's go to Luke 1 verse 13. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Context, Jesus wasn't born yet, but it's in the season that things are shifting. There's angelic happenings taking place. The air is ready for answered prayer. But the way it looked like, or the way that God knew this is ready, is everything is silent. People are backslidden. Israel has given up hope. Disillusioned, they're just continuing with the way things should be. And Zacharias, who was a priest, he was, they cast lots. That was the way that they heard God. Okay, wie vir die langste strooitjie. And he was chosen to go and minister before the Lord in the temple, to burn incense. And as he's there, all of a sudden an angel appears. And he says this. He doesn't speak about Israel. He says, John, Zacharias, your prayer has been heard. Now, important what you need to know is when for the readers there, when they hear or when they read your prayer has been heard, it doesn't mean, okay, you just heard it. Yeah. You know, like some of us, maybe some of the husbands watching the rugby yesterday, wife is, yeah, you met my helmet? Yeah. You hear it, but you don't do anything about it. Eh? Okay. Listen, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy making stupid jokes or corny jokes. And if it, so you can do what my wife does. If the joke isn't funny, you can laugh at me, not for the joke. But we can enjoy. So, when the angel says this, when God has heard your prayer, it means that God listened to it and He's acted upon it. Het jy my gehoor? When we ask our child. The question is not that you hear my voice. The question is, are you going to do what I asked you? And God is declaring through the angel saying, I've heard your prayer. What an incredible answer. What an incredible moment for Zacharias. I have heard your prayer. Now, for me, I would probably ask, which prayer, Lord? There's been so many. But you can hear or you can see here, this is the prayer of his heart. This is the thing that he has carried. Because prayer is much more than just words that we say out loud. Prayer is that thing that you carry that your being is calling unto God for. Some of the revivalists, there was one revivalist, he said, give me Scotland or I die. That was his prayer to God. And the queen of that time, I think she was the Bloody Mary queen, I'm speaking under correction now, but she said, I don't fear armies of this country or that. I don't fear them. But the prayers of that man I fear. And in his time, he saw all of Scotland be evangelized. Great revival breaking out. But the prayer is, that was what he was carrying. It was the voice of his prayer. Give me Scotland or I die. And it's usually very simple. 1 John 5 verse 14. Again, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Ons Afrikaans is daarom. Dit is die vrymoedigheid wat ons voor God het, dat wat ons ook al volgens sy wil vra, hy na ons luister. As ons dan met die wete leef dat hy na ons luister, na wat ons ook al vra, weet ons ook dat hy die versoek wat ons gevra het, toestaan. As 'n vrymoedigheid. There's a liberty that comes, and there's a liberty that we know that if we ask according to his will. So now you're probably asking the same question that I frequently ask. God, have I asked according to your will? Because I'm not sitting with all the answers. The answered prayer. Am I asking according to your will? And hear me. Just saying. Nie dat ons dit verdien nie, maar alleen uit u genade of u naam se ontwil alleen. That doesn't mean that we're necessarily praying according to God's will. It's the request beforehand that needs to line up with his heart. Né? Are we praying according to God's will? I'm not going to preach so much around that, but I want to show you how it sometimes looks like and the process of the answer coming. Praying according to his will. James 4 verse 2. You desire and do not have, so you murder. Okay, I hope that's not happened here. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Okay, so he's saying, ask, guys. You do not have because you don't ask. Yet, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, to spend it on your desire, to spend it on your own ideas. Now, we're sitting in the church, and we know it's wrong to desire all the bad stuff, né? to get drunk, or some of you have been called out of it, out of drugs, out of difficult or really bad, evil situations. And so we know that's the passions of the world, to be drunk, it's all that's wrong, that's bad. But these passions don't just refer to that. It refers to our, what we think is right, what we think is good, what we think. It looks very much like the serpent coming to Eve in the Garden of Eden. And he comes to her and he says, did God say you're not allowed to eat of any of them? No, he didn't say that. Only this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil says, oh, no, it's not that bad. This tree will make you wise. It will help you to know what is right and wrong. It will actually make you like God. Your eyes will be opened. Wow, that's good. Maina. And she eats, and the husband eats, and their eyes open up, according to the devil. But yet when we get saved now, we say, I once was blind, but now I see. And so they actually become blind to God's will, but they know what is right and wrong. They know what is good and evil. They know how to decide. Their passion is to be right and to be like God in their own way. And that's man's struggle ever since. And we call that religion. Godsdienst. Dat ek op my eie goddelikheid of godvreesend kan wees. Dat ek besluit wat reg en verkeerd is. And so I want to let us listen, just read that scripture. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to try and be godly on your own. To try and work revival on your own. To try and make unity on your own. To try and do that on your own because you think that's right. And it is. And the idea is right. God wants that. But on our own, we can't do it. We need to be found in the tree of life. And that's what Jesus came to do. He said, I'm the last Adam. The Bible refers to him as the last Adam. It says, not my will be done, but yours. John 5. The Son can do nothing of himself. He only says, he only speaks what he hears the Father speak. So what, even though he could, even though he knew what was right and wrong, he knew what was what would have been in the people's hearts. He read them. He had the words of knowledge all over the place. He did not act unless the Father spoke. Because that's life. Not right and wrong. Not being right. It's being in the life. It's being in the will of God. It's knowing what God desires. That's life. But the angel said to Zechariah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. No method of better praying will get you the answer. It is the heart that God looks at. It is the person. Not the method, but the man or the woman. And so here in Luke 1, we're not going to read through the whole of Luke 1, but we have Zechariah and Elizabeth. Bible says that they are righteous people. Let me just make sure if I've got that. Okay, no. They were righteous people. That's what the Bible says. Geregtige mense. They walked blamelessly. But they were without child. She was barren. And they were advanced in years. It sounds quite familiar. Abraham and Sarah, advanced in years. And you know, the other day I was reading that story again for my boys. And trying to explain to them, you know, how old Sarah was. And nowadays, it would be like Omar having another child. Or, you know, how do you, and for their mindset. But they were advanced in years. And so the signs were good people, blameless, righteous, doing all the right things, but barren. No answer. With no answer, with no fruit. They wanted to have children. In those days, more than today, this was a sign of actually God's favor, because part of one of the the aspects why God wants us, why God wants Christians to get married, His people to be married, is godly offspring. And so for them, it was like many thought that cursed, sir, if it, that you do not have a child. And so you walk around with some form of almost like an identity. And maybe some of you here that struggle to have children, you might know how that feels if you really want a child but you can't. And having to deal with the disappointment or the disillusioned or all the whys and why nots and all of that. It's difficult. But yet, Zacharias was worshiping God. He was walking blamelessly. He was doing what God has called him to do. And he stands in front in the temple and he's burning the incense. He's worshiping. He's giving his life for what God has called him for. And the Bible says that the angel in verse 11 says, "And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." Now, symbolically, standing on the right side of someone or standing is always a place of favor. So here we have an angel standing on the right side, and he appears. I don't know how that looked like. How would that, you know, it's like bright star, smoky appearance. What's, I would love to see that. An angelic encounter. When an angel appears, it's always with a message. Angel means messenger. The message is not always spoken. It's sometimes done. You would know. It's sometimes just spoken into your heart. And he's speaking to them. And Zacharias, he says the following. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." Because we would usually be afraid when we see an angel. "Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Your prayer has been answered. They have been advanced in years. If any of you have been advanced in years, you've probably stopped praying the prayer. You've been waiting so long for this thing to be done. You've stopped praying. Okay, maybe it was not God's will. And let's be real. Just look at that couple. Zacharias, let's just look after Mary's child, if we can have. You know, they were family. Well, let's look after the nephews and the... Let's be great aunts and uncles. Let's be fun aunts and uncles. But we're never going to have it. And there's a breaking moment. There's a shift moment where the angel steps in and says, "Your prayer has been answered." God speaks. Ah! What do we do when the prayer is answered? Was Zacharias ready for answered prayer? You know what John means? It says, Yahweh is a gracious giver, a gift of God. Speaks of God that He's a giver. Can I encourage you this morning, if you've given up, been disappointed that God has not given yet, whatever the things you're trusting God for, He is. His name is. He is a giver. And then the angel continues and he speaks to Zacharias and he says, "This is how your son is going to be. This is how John is going to be. He will, you will have great joy and gladness. Many will rejoice. He will be great before the Lord. He will not drink, be given to drink and all that. He will be a Nazarite." The Nazarite in the Bible was like Samson. Don't cut the hair. Don't drink wine. All that. It's his wild one. And we see that later in John's life. He was a bit out of the box. We'll get to that. "He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time of the womb." You remember when Mary met Elizabeth, said, "Hello, Elizabeth." Whoop! Something happened in Elizabeth's tummy and the baby was filled with the Spirit. "He will turn many Jews to God. He will go in the Spirit and the power of Elijah, turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. The disobedient to wisdom, he will make ready the people for the Messiah." What an answer. What a blessing. I'm going to have a son that does this. I would wait 10 more years. I mean, if that's going to be the case. Because Zacharias did not know what kind of son he would have had in the waiting time. I was speaking to a guy in the week. They're thinking of, we've got a Bible school. It's a Timothy TNT, some of you know. And he was saying about how he's spoken to some guys. And the guys, you know, one guy said, you know, he doesn't know if he's got all the time to... for him, the input and the output is just, they're going to be with five guys. And, you know, is it really worth it to give all that preparation time and that teaching time for it? You know, just five guys. I said, okay, but if that one of them is Billy Graham, would that equal the, would that be sufficient? But we don't know. Always. You don't know with who you spend time. You don't know who you invest in. You don't know until God answers. Because God wants to work in us as well in that process. That we don't do it because it's a good thing to do. It's a right thing to do in our own minds. We do it because God has called us. They were advanced in years. God works best in impossible situations when you and I cannot. When we cannot, when we've given up, when we've stopped maybe. It's Lord. And funny enough, the prayer actually continues. If I would come and inspect some of you, and there are some prayers, that's usually the prayer, that in your heart you might have stopped speaking it, but it's in there. You can't let go of it. It's actually arrested you. You can't. It has taken you. It is as if the Holy Spirit is praying through you. And I believe that there are prayers like that that God wants to answer. And He wants to encourage us this morning. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't be offended with God. Because in some ways, Zacharias was a bit offended, I think. Or was a bit, it was difficult for him. I'm going to continue there. And Gabriel spoke to him. The angel of the, I mean, he said, my name is, says, Gabriel, God is my strength. God is my strength is His name. So, isn't it beautiful that God sends the angel, He sends the messenger, He says, you cannot in your own strength, you cannot do it, but I will send my strength to you. I will give you my strength. Because you cannot. And that's what Jesus needed. That Garden of Gethsemane. Father, can this cup pass by me? Is there any other way? But not my will, your will. Not my strength, your strength. Because what God wants to do on the earth can only be done with Him. Not without Him. He is not a God that sends you out and say, go Buti, go try your best. I'm coming back. You sang that song this morning. I'm coming back. And then I'm going to see if you did so well. He's not that kind of father. The very joy that He gets is by doing it with us. Is by having us say, Dad, we need you. Father, help us. God, can we walk it out together? That's the joy. The destination, the end, as we know it in terms of time-wise. Yeah, it's great. He's coming back, but He wants to do it with us now. He is our reward now. And so Zechariah answers in doubt. He says, how will I know this? And the angel says, I am Gabriel. I am your strength. God answers us with Himself. And some of us are looking for answers outside of God. You just want the thing to be done. You just want that situation, the frustration of the situation to stop, or the, you know, all those kind of different things. And God says, I want to be part. I want to be in this. I am your strength. We're going to get to that now. Sorry, maybe I should just go back. It says, and in Luke 1 verse 20, it says, and behold, Zechariah said, how will I know this? Here's what the angel says, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Ouch. Want dit is 'n onskuldige vraag, Here. Ek wil regtig net weet hoe gaan dit gebeur? And we would look, but that's right, God. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's a good question. How? God is different from us, guys. And he looks at that heart and he sees doubt. And the angel says, okay, I am your strength and you will be silent. 400 years of silence is broken and Zechariah is silenced. So you can't speak about it. That's what happened. 400 years of silence. Is the shift is coming. The voice is speaking. Okay, you can't say anything about this because you did not believe. Little story from us. Our first boy, his name is Evan Luke. It's not a family name. It's not a name that I thought of. We're on an outreach, we're praying. We're in the season of wanting children, and we both thought we're gonna have a daughter. So you know, so I was at this picture of the little blonde girl, and we met, and it's like she also had that picture in her heart. Confirmation, huh? That's almost how it works. Yeah. And so we're on an outreach, and Ina's like, okay, God, if I'm going to have a child and it's not a daughter, please just speak to me. I don't want them to have like any rejection issues and stuff like, you know, some people struggle with. And so the Lord gives her a dream. And in the dream, she's in our home, and we come down the stairs, and there's a dove. And Ina says, look. The Lord came to visit me on my birthday. And she sticks out her hand and the dove comes to sit on her arm. And it's like, wow, this is cool. And she walks down and she opens the door to let it go. And as she lets the dove go, this dove transforms into a tribal man. And the tribal man starts to speak to her, but in a tribal language. And she's like, oh no. Or she says, you will have a son and you will call him. And he starts speaking in tribal language. And she's like, oh shucks, I need to know. And she starts repeating what he said. And as she repeats what he said, you will have a son and you will call him Evan Luke. And as she said that, the whole garden is like angelic beings. And it was just like a heavenly experience. It's like, whoa! So she wakes up and we're like, okay, how do we interpret this dream? You will have a son, you'll come. The Lord visited me on my birthday. Okay, so Ina gets pregnant. Nehemander, okay, it's not her birthday. Okay, so we can have a daughter. Huh? Come on, I mean, that's logic. But I say, if we're going to have a son, we call him Evan Luke. I don't want to be mute for 9 months. Like, okay, God, if you say so. I mean, one answer. So if God said you must call him Moses, are you going to do it? Would you do that? It's like, yeah. She didn't make sense to her. Why would God say that? But no. Then we go for the sonar, and I see the little toolbox, and I say, and we were so surprised. We walked, and it was like this mind bend that we needed to go through because we constantly looked at girly clothes and hearts and pink stuff. And now we walk into a shop and it's like cargo. And we go to the girls, no, we need to, okay, it's all the army stuff. And it took a while. And sometimes our expectation, how good it looks, how right it looks, how it's just not God. And we have a picture, and God is not fearful to shatter that picture, to break it and give you the real answer, to make your prayer work to the good, His good, even when we don't think it's good. Now, I love my boys. I mean, I don't think he's not good. Or so I now understand why we don't have any girls, but. We love boys. So, and so, the angel speaks to Zacharias. He was not ready for answered prayer, and therefore he was silenced. And we know that the day come, most of us know the story, and now he needs to be circumcised, his name needs to be given, and the people ask Elizabeth, what's his name going to be? And she says, John. Like, but that's not a family name. None in your family is called that.
the naming of the answer, the how the answer comes is not how everyone expected it to be. And she goes, Zacharias? And Zacharias? And as he says, the boy's name will be called John. His mouth is opened. He can speak again. And everyone's like, whoa, something is different about this boy. They rejoiced. But they also, the scripture speaks of it, they hid things in their hearts. They wondered, how's this boy going to grow up to be? We need to acknowledge the way that God wants to answer when He answers prayer. We need to acknowledge that. Because history is full of people that did not acknowledge the answer of God, and therefore they could not be part of the answer of God. I'll share about that just now. Luke 1 verse 80. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The answer of God was in the wilderness. The answer of God was out there. He was eating springkane and honey, and he didn't look the deal. The answer of God for Israel. Partly. The preparation of the answer of God, if I can say it like that, was in the wilderness. And he came out, and he came out with a bang. When I think how he came out, probably I've got this picture of a Tasmanian devil. Just like, he just shook every box in the people's hearts. But he led a revival. People from all the regions came to be baptized. There was a grace upon him. And he called them to repentance. He called them to a place of trusting in God again. So that they could be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. The answer of the Father. But then Jesus comes and we read there in Luke 7 when Jesus speaks about John. Jesus speaks about John. He says, to what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. Because that's not right. You can't do that. You must have a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, yet wisdom is justified by all her children. And so what Jesus is speaking there, he says, you guys didn't understand when God was giving you the answer in John and in me. And no matter what way we come, you're going to have an excuse. You're going to have an offense. It's funny that that portion of scripture is just after the disciples of John came and said, Jesus, John is in prison. He just wants to know, are you really the Messiah? Because Jesus did not come to set him free out of prison. In fact, John was the one that first saw the behold the Lamb. But now, over a process of time, it's like, I wonder, is he the Lamb? Because he's not coming he's not ruling as I thought. He's not delivering. And Jesus says, go tell John, the blind see, the lepers walk, the word is preached. Blessed is he who is not offended by me. Who is not offended by me. Blessed is he whose heart is not when God answers, no, I don't think that's God. Blessed is he who, when God sends him a package in a very weird wrapping, he does not go, that can't be God. Are you ready for answered prayer? The answer often, if not mostly always, looks different from what we expect. Now I want to say this into the context of us praying for revival. Us praying for the mighty move of God in this valley. It will be different from what you expect. It will. And I don't know how else to say that. people discovering God afresh, there's something that you cannot contain about that. And it's messy. Some people come to Shofar and they believe that, oh man, where I come from, that church knows nothing, but I heard Shofar is great. And they come in here and then you offend them. But God told them to come here. But you're not. You are the answer for that person. He wants them to be part of this family of believers. But man, that's not what they asked for. Show me any brother or sister who asked for their brother or sister. Who said, hallelujah. I love it. Show me one. It's like my cousin's daughter. She was about 4 or 5 years old. Baby brother is born. About 3 weeks into the birth, she says, okay, no, vanaga, I know I used to. This is now nice, but when's he going back? It's not comfortable. It's not nice. It's so God, but man. Are we ready for answered prayer? Israel cried out for years, said, help us. We're under slavery. The Egyptians are murdering us. God says, I've heard your call. I sends them Moses. Moses leads them out. About 11, scholars say it's about an 11-day journey. They go, they get to the promised land. God says, here is the answer. The promised land. Spies go. Imagine just the chatter on the way. Finally, our grandfathers, 400 years they struggled, and we are part of going into the answer. We are part of the fulfillment of prophecy. Come in. Oh, look at this big grapes and stuff. It must be Wellington. Let's call it Wellington. Eh? It's like, and they come in and they, 3, 5, 4, 5. But they see giants. It's like, oh shucks. And for me, I mean, I think in pictures, I see Caleb and Joshua coming through. Oh man, giants. They go back. Sorry guys, this is not the answer. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. We cannot do this. Isn't it incredible? God leads them miraculously. And then they come to the promise and, okay, we must now do this. We can't do this. And they go back. But you couldn't do the previous things. God did it. No, we can't do this. And it takes a nation 40 years, a whole generation. I just think, imagine just for a moment. And yeah, we're going to get to this. Imagine for a moment, you grew up. Let's say you born the day that the spies said, sorry, we can't. God says, okay, 40 years. You're born that day. All you know is that you come out in the morning. What is this? You know what's the manna means in Greek? That's what it, in Hebrew. What is this? You go, what is this? You eat quail, birds come. God provides supernaturally. All you know is supernatural. 40 years. You come 40 years. You know nothing of not supernatural. It's natural for God to provide. It's natural. You don't worry about. Now God says, okay, that was not the answer of the prayer. That was the discipline of God. Okay, guys, you're going into the answer. And Caleb and Joshua's like, guys, we can't miss this. We know how the answer looks like. They are giants, but we're going to get it. And God says, don't worry, I'll be with you. I will give. I have given you the land. And they go over. And all of a sudden, the manna and the quail stops. They now need to sow. They now need to work. Well, what kind of answer is this, God? The answer of God, the promise to Canaan, is not without work. It's not without sweat and all of that. It's the answer is just it's with him. And it's what he wants. Are you ready for answered prayer? When you ask for revival, it's not that you're going to sit back. You know how many people is going to come through your house?
that you need to deliver, cast out demons, disciple, teach them about Jesus, baptize them? Or do you know how hard work that is? It doesn't come easy. Some of you have already had disappointments and decisions. I'm not going to do this disciple thing. I give into their life and then they just chuck the first moment they get an offense. But the first time I tell them, no, die Here moet jou Heer wees. Jy moet daai ding los. Jy kan nie jou vrou slaan of jy kan nie. Wie is jy vir my te sê? Jesus sê dit eintlik. Jesus is cool. Okay, you chuck. Oh God, I gave all of this. You said we will disciple the nations. Yeah, I did. Answered prayer is God's answer, not our answer. I'll finish off with this. Beginning of the year, or end of last year, we've got a friend of ours. We pretty much just connected via Facebook. Not, you know, how you connected Facebook. You look at their photos and you like now and again, but you don't talk or anything like that. So one of the girls that was in our Bible school way back, early days, she sends, a message. Hey, I had a dream about you. You're standing at a fork in the road. You can't go on the way you should go. You must choose one. We're like, okay, but I mean, she's not very close. We'll keep it, put it in the back pocket. Now, 2-3 days later, family member comes. I had a dream about you, and you were driving in a car with another number plate, and Ina was crying. Like, okay, this doesn't sound good. When the frequency of people coming to you with, I feel the Lord say, then you start. So we go back to our elders after the holiday. We say, hey guys, yeah, 2 dreams people gave. Pray with us. We're not in isolation. So just, yeah, we don't see here anything of a move or so. They pray. We don't see anything. Let's keep on walking. February, March, having a breakfast with a friend. You know Mervis van der Merwe, some of you? He's worked with, what's his name now? Julius Megan. Julius Megan, I mean, very prophetic. He sings songs over you. So, but we're having breakfast, just chatting about this and that. And then all of a sudden he sits and he says, Ron, I see you with a Breaband plaasuit, and all of a sudden you're getting like a flat cap, a pet. And God's going to change your area of influence and it's going to happen suddenly. We're like, yes, here, this, you're not speaking to us. What's happening here? We take it back to our leaders, say, guys, pray with us. We don't see anything. So since last year, I felt the Lord speak to me about an extended fast, to go on an extended fast. Now, things didn't happen, but the month of May felt, okay, it's coming together. There's a bunch of things that came together. So it's, okay, month of May, 30-day fast. The reason why I want to say a 30-day fast is because I feel that there are some of you that need to go on an extended fast or are trusting God about it. And you're wondering, will I be able to do it or not? I believe that God's calling us for that. And so I went on a 30-day fast, Fluids. It was easier than many one-day fasts I've been in. Really, I can only testify of God's goodness in that. Now, it was a very silent fast. Day 26, I come in and say, God, am I doing this in my own strength? Because I'm not hearing much. I had 3 definite things. I asked here and there a person just to pray with me. So just a few years. And the prayer for me was, I felt the Lord speak about reset. Reset of love for Him, just heart in our family, ministry. I was asking God, Lord, what's our next leg in the valley? Because we're here for the valley. God has spoken. I mean, Andrew Murray is sitting looking into the north. There's revival. There's this. I mean, we need to get revival in this valley. And so, Lord, what's the next step? How should I lead? So, I mean, day 26, I say, Lord, and you are going to feel that you're doing it on your own or so, and you need to give up. Don't give up. So, okay, Lord. Next day, I get a phone call. Hey, we feel that you might need to go and lead a congregation in Melkbos. Would you go and pray about it? Okay. Come to Ina. Say, they've asked us to go and pray about leading a church in Melkbos. No. that's not the answer. That's not what I've been called for. Revival, Wellington, Paul Valley. I mean, there's just so much. You come into this valley and you know it's God wants to do something. I mean, it's difficult to be here for a little while and not have heard anything of that. So, but in that season, we've been preaching through Romans 12, living sacrifices. We're preaching on faith. How does God want to build our faith and so on. I'm constantly asking God, I'm not seeing our church's faith project. You know, like a corporate, we need to trust God for this person's breakthrough. Everyone's doing their personal breakthroughs, but there's no big faith project. And my one friend just preached before that, and there's a song of Jason Upton that says, if I was a foolish bird, I would listen to my fears, and I don't know the words, but I would fly away from the scarecrow. But if I was a wise bird, I would go, I would confront my fears, and I would go where the scarecrow is, because that's where my treasure is. And I don't know if you've seen Wellington, there aren't many scarecrows here. I mean, the guys use maybe rifles or something. And so I'm driving to a meeting, and I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about Malpus, I'm thinking, now, really, we said, no, we don't think we're going to do it. We were actually at a place of saying, and I mean, they asked us, what do you think? We said, no, we're not jumping up and joy, up and down for joy. But we'll pray about it. And as I'm driving and I'm thinking about the scarecrow thing, I was, Lord, is this? And I look in front of me and I see a dam and a scarecrow. But it slut my Esau. I'm like, oh, Lord, is this you? And we take that weekend to pray and we line up everything and we just say all the things why we don't want to, why we can't. It's either fear, it's either chamak, it's either that. And we come to the place where we realize, God, we think you're speaking to us. And we can see that from the beginning, from the end of the last year, he's been just every now and again. I want to tell you, I mean, we've prayed for this valley. We've fasted for this valley. And God's got an answer. And I fasted for this valley, in that sense, me in this valley. And the answer to the prayer was not what I expected. But it's His answer. And if I'm His, then He calls the shots. Then He says, if He's the head of the church, then He decides. And He can use anyone and anybody who He wants, because it's His move. So we're going to Malpus at the end of the year. Some of you have heard of it. But I want to cheer you on and say, don't let go of the promises of God. God's not let. He's got a plan for every. Don't let go of the promises of God. Don't let go of what He's called you for. And if He moves you, then He moves you. But if He has you here, just for that brief moment, just for that, to put in the little block that you need to put in, then do it. Because it's not ultimately just about the answer in the area. He is the answer. It's about being part of His answer. And one day, we will look back, and when He comes, and hopefully He'll show us, we will know as He knows, and we will see everyone's role, and some of those people that you thought would never do anything for God, without that person's prayer that day, without that person's coffee that day, without that person's just journey, this would have never happened, and there would be a rejoicing, and a, yes, Lord. Can I ask you, please, if God answers, receive. Don't be offended with His answer. Don't be offended. If it comes in a form that it's honey still on the beard, sprinkaan awesome, and it comes in that way, don't maybe look like that, but stay close. You know, look that way and stay close. Give Him one of those hugs, you know. But embrace. If Andrew Murray almost missed it, woo, you and me. I think if I was not fasting and praying in that month, I might have missed it. I might have said no. And our, you know, our movement is not in that that you have to. If, you know, they would, I might have missed it. One of the other songs that constantly I prayed and prayed is, when you speak, may I hear you. Another song of Jason Upton. Ah, Lord. Lord, I want to pray that when you speak, when you answer, may we hear you. May our hearts be open to receive what you want to give. And even as the church received me this morning, Lord, I pray that how you answer, and I believe this journey, this B2G is part of that. It's playing a role in that. But Lord, as you use people, as you do things, Lord, that we would not be those that stand and say, no, this is not of God. No, this is not the promise of God. But Lord, that we would receive it. We would not be offended. We would celebrate. That we would say, he must increase, I must decrease. God, your mind increase. Your ways increase. We decrease. Pray, Lord, for the grace on each one here. And I want to ask if you might have, you know, just in some way you stopped. You're in the church this morning. You're celebrating. You're Zacharias. You're burning the incense. You're worshiping. But you've stopped. Your voice has gone silent in that sense. You gripped in your heart, and this morning it was just a reminder of that, but you disillusioned, disappointed. If that's you, would you be brave just to raise your hand? I just want to connect with you. I just want to agree with you that God is faithful to answer. You might be advanced in years. That thing that needs to be birthed through you. Father, just these ones raising their hands, I thank you that you answer prayer. You are our strength. You are the giver. And Lord, everything according to your will, you do. Lord, and I pray that I will hear testimonies. I've answered prayer, Lord. I would hear, Lord, moments of say, hey, this is a bit uncomfortable, but this is God. Like every child has come into our life, Lord. Every parent knows it's the answer to prayer, but there is discomfort. There is late nights. There are diapers to change. There are, but it's so much joy. It's so you, Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, Father. Bless Shofar in that sense, Lord. Now, I don't know all of you, but I just lastly want to ask. This morning you felt, hey, I'm so far from God. I need God. I need more of Him. Or I need to be saved. I've backslidden. And there's a cry in my heart, God save me. God red my. Ek weet nie tot waar ek nou is nie, maar God red my. I can tell you, God wants to answer that prayer this morning. I want to be a messenger. I'm not an angel, but a messenger to tell you, God has answered your prayer. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Hy wil jou antwoord. Is daar enige so persoon, wat jy dalk net vinnig jou hand wil lig, dat ek net so met jou kan bid en Here vertrou dit. Hy jou kom red. Dat jy in die lewe van Christus gevind kan word. Okay. Now, Father, I just pray that you would send many out here to go and be the answer. And Lord, in the moments where the people don't like the answer, give them boldness. Give them confidence to press through. Because I want to tell you that God wants to answer people's prayers through you at the workshop, in the business, in the family. Hy wil jou die antwoord maak van sekere mense se gebede. Hy wil jy met die een wees wat kom in en sê, hier is die antwoord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Amen. Amen. Dankie vir julle geduld. Entas.